So the new album's called Trouble in Paradise. What happened in Paradise and what caused the trouble?
What happened in Paradise? Loads of things happened in Paradise. I think it depends what you look at Paradise as. On this record, Paradise can be anything you want it to be that makes you feel safe or makes you feel at home or makes you feel bliss or any number of those things that are happy emotions. Especially, I think, for me, Paradise is a kind of safety emotion. It's a kind of, it's where you feel most comfortable, where you feel most yourself, where you feel most relaxed. It's not necessarily just somewhere that's visually paradise. And then the trouble, again, because paradise can be anything, the trouble can kind of be anything as well. You know, it can be and is on the record. Whether it's that paradise is a relationship and there's troubles within that or confusions or complications that you don't understand where they've come from or you're trying to deal with them because essentially everything else about the relationship is paradise. Or whether it's about the discomfort of a place that should be paradise but for some reason isn't for you or for somebody else that's in that place. And then there's the kind of overall mood, which I find is best described as emptiness in a place where there was once joy. And this kind of mood of if something that's so joyous can be dismantled so quickly, which I find like most party environments or anything like that, or a festival or anything, it can be dismantled very quickly. And I think then when you see the debris of happiness, sometimes that can be quite depressing, even if only something really good went on there. And I think that's a kind of general overall mood, a general conflict of feelings that goes over the record.
Is it like Phoenix coming out of the ashes, like out of the debris, coming out this amazing record?
I hope so, yeah. I really hope so. There's definitely been some ashes on this record, and I've definitely got red enough hair to be a phoenix, but I don't know. I can't say what's going to happen, but I certainly feel like this album, it deserves to come out of the ashes. We've worked so hard at it. It feels like a thing of its own, I guess, like any album. It doesn't feel like just a thing that we've made. It feels like it's a person, it's a mood, it's a place of its own, and I feel it deserves attention.
I mean, the thing is, like, everyone's been kind of asking and nagging and putting you under pressure, when's the new album coming out, when's the new album coming out? How did you feel about all this? Because, you know, on one hand, you had this amazing success, and then you had the pressure from the media and the press and everyone going, like, when's the next album out?
Yeah, I know. I think that side of it is obviously difficult, and was difficult, especially during the making of it, and there was many days where we almost ditched working for the day just because we were like, I think working under this pressure is not helping the album at all. You know, like working under pressure creatively makes you not very creative. And I think that was the hardest part about the pressure, was not the pressure that I feel now before it's about to come out, which I do, but the pressure, trying to make it under pressure, that's horrible. And it's not what music wants. It's not what music needs. Music needs to be free. It needs to be able to be, you know, you need to be able to play a part for a joke and then go, actually, was that really good? You need to be that free. You need to be able to suggest the worst suggestion for music. You need to be able to pull up the worst reference, suggest the worst lyric, and for the person that you're working with to go, you know, either, actually, there could be something in that or not, but to feel free enough to do that. And that's something that was, I think, the pressure from the first record actually didn't help making this record at all, and it took us quite a long time to get over it, but also I feel like we've now not waited but it's now been so long in a way that it kind of doesn't, nothing matters anymore. It's kind of like I feel like I can just start afresh, you know. It's almost a new project.
Is it hard for you to now be on your own and without Ben, or was it something that you expected?
Yeah, I think it was, because it's initially how I started before I met Ben. You know, I wasn't, you know, I was making music. You know, I still made Colourless Colour, for instance, with somebody else. And that wasn't when we were in, you know, we weren't in any kind of duo, and it still sounds like LaRue. It's not like it was just me and Ben that made LaRue, and, it can't be made unless he's there or anything like that. So I always knew I'd end up coming back to, I guess, standing under the name LaRue just by myself, because That's really why I chose it. You know, I think when it came to, you know, I didn't want to dishonour Ben's involvement in the first record, even however much I knew it might change in the future. I really didn't want to dishonour it. I knew that we'd spent a lot of time together, and even if it was just going to be for one record, I was going to talk about it in the way it was made, which was me and Ben. Just like I talk about this record, as in me and Ian. It doesn't mean we're now a duo, it just means that's who made this record, me and Ian. But I think when it came to picking a name, I knew I didn't want to just be Ellie Jackson or whatever. That kind of seemed so boring to me. And I knew that I wanted a name that, again, if I did want to, you know, make records in different ways in the future, or with 10 other people, or with 2 other people, or with another person, that I'd always have a project name in a way to stand under, but that also represented what I was. You know, it means red-haired one in French. And so I always knew that that didn't refer to me and somebody else, it just referred to me. So yes, I guess there's always been an awareness that that would be the case.
I mean, you've got songs on the record called
Sex Attack.
God. Yeah, sex. So on the album, you've got Sex Attack, and you've got another song that's got sex in it. Was that part of the record? Like, you know, get a bit more kind of cheeky and tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. And
yeah, totally. Yeah, you know, you got it in one. It was supposed to be tongue-in-cheek. You know, I think I got, and I am constantly really bored of people using sex or the subject of sex or anything like that in a really grotesque way, or in a quite a dark, seedy way. And I've always just kind of, every time I've said the word like sex or sexual or anything like that, it's always been like in a jokey way. You know, I used to describe everything as sexual. I'd be like, oh my God, that sofa is so sexual. And it's always been a kind of jokey word for me. I've just always seen it as funny.
That's what sex is supposed to be. It's supposed to be fun, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not supposed to be dark and seedy, that's for sure. And I think things that we're teaching our younger generations about, you know, we're certainly not teaching them to think about sex in a light-hearted, fun, you know, loving, but also can be just a cheeky word or whatever way. We're not representing it in that way. We're representing it through a lot of kind of, yeah, quite seedy music about kind of having sex with people in clubs and getting unbelievably drunk and just nasty things that I wouldn't mind if they were aimed at 30-year-olds or 18-year-olds even. It's the fact that they're aimed at 8-year-olds that I have a problem with. And I thought, well, rather than moaning about it, you know, why don't you write, you know, songs that you feel represent sexuality in a way that you're happy with. So Cruel Sexuality is just about being a sexual being and about sometimes the downfalls of that. And Sex Attack is a cheeky made-up story about a guy who's got a sex addiction, basically.
When you came out, there's a lot of women coming out. Adele, Florence and the Machine, and Lily Allen before that, Kate Nash. A lot of young women with an amazing attitude. Is that something that you want to get across in your music?
Do you know what? I think I do want to get it across in my music, but I'm almost less keen to get it across in my music. I think it's difficult. I think I want to present the kind of person that and the kind of music that I... Again, I don't know. It's difficult to explain. Like, I do have very strong opinions, but I also think I don't want to blab on about them. I think things about sexuality and things that relate to me are important to me, and I think they're worth talking about, but I think just having strong opinions about everything is not really the place. It's not music isn't the place for it. But I certainly feel like yes, you should try, and if you do have an issue with something or you think, actually, I don't really like the way that's done in music, rather than moaning about it, go and make the kind of music that you do think you should do that, if that makes sense.